Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. In fact, Joe, it's a tail wagon Tuesday at First Horizon Park. We say hello to Jeff Hem, the voice of the Nashville Sounds, who has been nice enough to join us. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. It is a tail wagon Tuesday. I think that is a Tito's tail wagon Tuesday. You can bring your dog to the park. I think that's always fun.
Yeah, it's been going on for several years now, and it's grown. It started as like one day, I want to say 17 or 18, and popular. We did two dates the next year, and now for several years in a row, it's been every single Tuesday. And the cool part too is that every time we have one, it helps a local animal nonprofit, because there's the human ticket and there's the dog ticket, and all the dog ticket proceeds benefit an animal nonprofit every time we do it. So tonight, the beneficiary is Proverbs 12:10 Animal Rescue. And so I think we've got probably, what, a dozen or so of these every year. And so there's, you know, a good 7-8 nonprofits that get helped with one date or two dates of these tail wagons. So that part of it is very cool.
That is cool. So be sure to check that out as the home stand against the Durham Bulls opens tonight. But, you know, I'm always curious, and we've had these conversations before, you know, with the Brewers leading the Central right now, you know, they're obviously doing well, and they're going to do everything they can to, you know, win that division and go far in the playoffs. So how does that affect the Sounds and kind of the balance of trying to have a competitive team at the AAA level, but knowing you're probably going to lose some guys to the majors?
Yeah, and we are affected by it every single day in one way or another. But I think in 9 times out of 10, the AAA team, even if it means you might have a loss or two here and there because you're dealt a little bit of a short hand because of call-ups, like 9 times out of 10, the storyline is still that it's wonderful. Like you're helping a big league team try to win a division, and you're getting guys to the big leagues. And that's what AAA ball is all about. So, you know, almost every day it feels like somebody's going up, and the Brewers, like you said, they're going to take whatever they need when they need it, whether it's somebody for a day or a week or for a few months now. And we've had no shortage of movement this year. I think the biggest impact it's had so far this year is on the pitching side, because the Brewers several times this year have had the AAA team manage the pitching staff in a certain way to keep, you know, this pitcher from throwing for a couple of days so that he's ready. And then you got to make sure you don't go too long without throwing. So you're always kind of threading that needle of like, hold off on this guy, we might need him, use this guy instead. And then after you use this guy, so like the pitching management becomes unique at times. Like you might go to a Sounds game and you see a starting pitcher throwing really well, and he only gives up, you know, a few hits and no runs, and he might come out after the fourth or fifth inning. And if you're in the stands, you think, well, why? That guy's dominating. Why would they take him out? Well, sometimes that's because the fewer pitches you throw, the sooner you can be ready for that next outing. And the Brewers are looking at it as like, hey, we might need that guy to be up here for his next outing. So that's where it becomes a little bit unique. You don't always see a guy just go 7 innings just because he's pitching well. Sometimes he's kept short despite how well he is doing. So I think this year so far, that's where it's shown up the most. We've seen plenty of different guys go up, but the pitching management has been a lot different because the Brewers want guys to be able to throw 2 or 3 innings if they're going to be a long reliever. Up there, they might be a starter down here, and so sometimes the starts get kept short down here in preparation for a possible need, and then it sometimes that need never happens, and no one ever knew it was going on behind the scenes, but that's how the Brewers have to try to manage this, and they're sitting pretty atop the National League Central, so everything they're doing, even if the Sounds are affected by it in a tougher effort to win a ball game at AAA that night, it's working, and they're going to keep doing it as they should.
We're talking to Jeff Hem, Nashville Sounds play-by-play announcer here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Jeff, one of our topics today is random run-in with celebrities and just kind of odd and funny kind of moments. You've been around baseball quite a while. Has there been one incident or moment where you're like, holy cow, that's Tommy Lasorda, or holy cow, that's somebody that you grew up, you kind of idolize, and there they are? Because I think in your travels, you've done that many times.
Yeah, I mean, you know, along the way, you get to meet different people, or different people are at the ballpark that you weren't necessarily expecting when you go on the road. Every major league team has at least a handful of, you know, former guys of their own who might be a special assistant role, or they're coming in to do a meet and greet, or they're doing VIP appearances or something like that. Like I remember years ago meeting Ken Griffey Sr. When we were playing a Reds affiliate, because he was doing some things for the Reds, which makes perfect sense since he used to star for them. It's funny you mentioned Tommy Lasorda. I did get to meet Tommy Lasorda when I was working in single-A ball. He was doing some things for the Dodgers, and we were playing a Dodgers affiliate at the time, and there was Tommy Lasorda. I remember my first one, my very first year, I was an intern in Battle Creek, Michigan in 2004. They were the Battle Creek Yankees at the time. And down in the stands, you know, a few rows behind home plate with a radar gun, as I glanced down there one day, was Jerry Krause, the old Bulls general manager,
who had a
baseball background. And I later learned, like, he had a connection to the Yankees farm director. And this was in 04, you know, there's 6 years removed from that final last dance of the Bulls. And I'm like, there's Jerry Krause scouting a single-A baseball game, the architect of six NBA championships. I didn't meet him because I was on the air, and then he was gone because he was, you know, covering the game. But I just remember thinking, like, and, you know, that's my first year in the business. I'm like, hey, this is kind of unique. I'm seeing Jerry Krause at a ball game. Like, how random is that? So that one came to mind as soon as you asked the question, because I had no idea he had the baseball background that he did, and that he was still doing some like advisory scouting for the Yankees. So seeing Jerry Krause, especially for me as an Illinois guy growing up in the Chicago area, those 90s Bulls, man, that was my bread and butter. And then seeing Jerry Krause scouting a single-A baseball game at Battle Creek, Michigan was definitely a double-take moment for me.
I'm sure it was. You know, it's funny, Jeff, about 10, 12 years ago, I remember talking to Don Money, who was the manager of the Nashville Sounds, and he was so great. I was talking to him. He's like, you know what? I got the hardest job in baseball. I was like, you do? Tell me why. He's like, AAA manager, because half the guys think they belong in the big leagues, and the other half should be in rookie ball, and I got to balance that. And it always made me laugh. I told Rick Street about this, and we laughed as well. You've been around it quite a while, and that's a delicate balance that the manager in AAA has to do every single day.
Yeah, Rick talks about it often. You know, that he'll say the best part of his job is getting to tell somebody they're going to the big leagues, especially when it's their very first time and maybe they've had to grind for a little bit and weren't the first round pick. And, you know, those stories never get old. And so he just did it a couple of weeks ago with one of our relievers, James Meeker, who was 29 years old. He pitched in independent ball. Like, getting to tell James he was going to the big leagues, like, that's pretty cool for the AAA manager to get to share that news. And Rick will say, every time, you know, the minute after he tells the news to that player, his mind has to go to the three or four guys who were also in the mix for that call-up who didn't go up. And, yeah, they're happy for their teammate and they respect James, but, you know, they'd be lying if deep down they probably weren't thinking, like, I wish that were me. So, and the AAA manager's got to manage all that. And we got to manage the emotions and, you know, the confidence levels and the egos and just the mental part of this for anybody in that clubhouse who didn't go to the big leagues. And so that's where I think Don Money was right in that regard. Like, he's managing a bunch of guys who all want to be somewhere else, even if they love where they're at. I say this to people all the time, like, the Sounds, the players, they love Nashville, they love our ballpark, they love the fans, but you can't fault them for wanting to be somewhere else because they're that close to the big leagues. And when that carrot is dangled like that, you understand that their mind would love to be in their body, would love to be somewhere else the second you told them that there's a chance for that to happen.
You know, that's funny. Now, I forget the guy's name. This is 2007 or 8. Ryan Braun was on the team, and Prince Fielder just got called up. And I forget who it was. He was like four home runs away, Jeff, from being the Sounds all-time home run leader. And I was like, hey, how does that? And he pulled me aside, and he's like, hey, I don't mean to be a jerk. Don't ask me that question because it's a title I don't want. And I was
right.
Like, I get it. He's like, yeah, because I want to go to the big leagues. I was like, I understand it.
Yep. Yeah, nobody gets into professional baseball wanting to set AAA records. Even if, you know, like, even you know that guy would be on some level proud of that because that means he's doing some things at a hard level of baseball that are impressive, but
right,
it's not the ultimate goal. So, he could only be so excited to break something that's not, and it's coming at a place where ultimately he's not wanting to be.
Jeff Hem is with us, voice of the Nashville Sounds. They're back in action tonight at First Horizon Park with first pitch at 6:35. He'll have the pregame for you at 6:20 on 94.9 The Fan. So we've talked a lot about this and, you know, the rule changes, and a lot of those rule changes that we are now seeing in the big leagues started in AAA and below. And I think it has made the game much more enjoyable. It moves faster. There's more action. It seems like fans are really paying attention. But another thing that I think kind of went overlooked that they've done with AAA is how they've done the divisions. I mean, at First Horizon Park now, you got the AAA affiliate of the Cardinals coming to town, the Braves, the Reds, like all the teams, Cubs, that people love around here. How big has that been when it comes to attendance and people wanting to come to a ball game to see either, you know, players that may be on their back nine that have, you know, come back down, or players of the future?
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I remember opening day last year, Louisville was in town. Joey Votto was on a Reds rehab assignment. Like, that's the opportunity for that to happen in our market is pretty cool, because if you polled Nashville, in my opinion, you'd get a lot of, like, what MLB team do they follow the most? You're going to get Braves, Reds, Cardinals, and then probably a mix of Cubs, Yankees, Red Sox, a mix of all kinds of other teams as people continue to move to this city from other parts. So I think in that regard, the realignment has been great. You know, I wish the schedule brought them to town more. Louisville only visited once. Gwinnett, the Braves affiliate, doesn't come here until our final homestand, which is also when Memphis comes here for only the second time. So I wish our schedule were a little heavier on some of those teams, but it is better. I mean, for years we'd be in the Pacific Coast League, like in the era that Joe was just talking about. And, you know, you look over to the other league and you're not only seeing parent clubs of teams that you wished the Sounds would play, like Braves and Reds, but you're also just seeing geographically some teams laid out in a way where you're like, well, they're only a few hours away. Why don't we play them? So, and now we have that, and it's much better. I wish the schedule format were different a little bit, and that's a soapbox for a different day. But I like the alignment geographically, and there's no doubt that, like, in an effort for the Sounds to truly want to have something for everybody at our ballpark, whether you're the diehard fan or you don't watch a pitch because you're in the bandbox or somewhere in between, if one of those things that might bring somebody out is that we're playing an affiliate that has a parent club that you like, we'd love that. We're hoping that someday the Worcester Red Sox will come to town and the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders will come to town. They're AAA for the Yankees. Like, A, for the novelty of it, and B, just because we know those teams have a large following. I mean, we've got Iowa coming to town in a couple of weeks. We see Cubs apparel in the park when we play Iowa. It's noticeable. Same way it is for the Reds and the Cardinals when we play Louisville and Memphis. So that part of it, I think, has been really cool these last few years in the realignment of putting the Sounds in the International League.
Yeah, and you mentioned the schedule and kind of how it shakes out. I find it interesting, the first week of July, you'll do three games at Memphis, and then they'll come here and do three games, which I think that's kind of cool.
Well, and the way they build the schedule is always they sort of start at July 3rd and July 4th, and then if you're picturing a horizontal line of the calendar, they work left and they work right. They work out from July 3rd and July 4th just so that every minor league team across the country can either be home on the 3rd or the 4th to do the fireworks and get the big crowd, and it's just huge for every team across the country in the minor leagues to have that opportunity. So this year, yeah, and then within that, they try to make it easier travel if at all possible. So to play Memphis is an easy bus ride after that game from being there on the 3rd and coming home on the 4th. So that part of it makes a lot of sense. And you know, Major League Baseball in this minor league takeover, so to speak, the last few years has had to learn a lot of things. One thing I know they knew right away is how critical it is for all the teams across the country to either get the 3rd or the 4th and not have to, you know, every other year get that homestand where you get the 4th of July, because everybody wants it. And so to have that is crucial. And that's really the starting point of the schedule. And then they build out from there to figure out homestands and road trips and all that. So that'll be good. And I can't believe it's already coming up here in a couple of weeks, the 4th of July. But, yeah, looking forward to that.
Crazy to think for sure, but appreciate it, my friend. Enjoy the series at home against Durham starting tonight. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch 6:35, and of course you can listen on 94.9 The Fan. Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too, guys. See you soon.
Absolutely. Jeff Hym, voice of the Nashville Sounds, joining us here on the show, talking some baseball. The Chase and Big Joe Show presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.